You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Cubs fans, and welcome to Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen. You can follow me on Twitter. That's simply at Joe Kilgallen. Also, give this podcast a follow as well. That is at Locked On Cubs. I hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. It's hot and sticky in Chicago. Hope you took a dip. You guys get in the pool? You splash around a little bit? Hope that AC was blasting wherever you were in this fine city or wherever you are across the country. I know we got a national listener base thanks to WGN, which I hope it continues. I don't understand what Marquee Network. I want to support it because it's a network dedicated to the Cubs, and they got some good people over there. But you got to make it easier for our Cubs fans from coast to coast across the globe to be able to enjoy the Chicago Cubs. That's a whole Major League Baseball issue, though, isn't it? All right, I think I could do a whole podcast dedicated to how Major League Baseball is screwing up for the fans. Fans want to watch the game. Stop making it more difficult. Have you ever had that? You ever have a situation where I've had this where I've had to buy tickets for an event before and they make it complicated? And that's what Major League Baseball does. It's like, hey, Major League Baseball, I'm trying to give you money. Why are you making it more difficult for me to give you money? If I live in San Diego or Arizona or Australia or wherever, I should be able to be like, hey, here's X amount of dollars. You give me the thing. I get to enjoy the thing. Right? See, I'm starting off, I'm feeling ranty. I'm feeling like there's going to be some rants tonight. You're listening to this on a Monday morning, I hope. I'm recording this late Sunday night. And as of right now, as of 10:30 Sunday evening on July 25th, there has not been yet another major trade. Still, the Cubs have only made one deal, and that's Jock Peterson to Atlanta. There has not been another deal. I will be recapping the series that was between the Cubs and Arizona Diamondbacks. The Cubbies took 2 of 3. I'm also going to revisit the anniversary, because it was the anniversary yesterday, I should say, of the Aroldis Chapman trade that went down in the year 2016. You guys remember 2016? Feels like ages ago, doesn't it? It's a good year. It's a good year for Cubs fans, was it not? It was. So I hope you guys are having a nice little Monday commute to work. Maybe you work from home. That's pretty nice, right? Keep your pajamas on as you enjoy your day. Maybe you're on the L right now, and you're going to a job that you're pumped up about, and you're listening to some Locked On Cubs. I appreciate that. This episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB Prospects. Draft season just occurred, and Locked On MLB Prospects podcast, there's a tongue twister for you, is covering all the future stars. Host Aram Layton brings to you player interviews and farm system breakdowns. So check it out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Cubs fans, like I said before, the Cubs took 2 of 3 from the Arizona Diamondbacks, winning Friday very easily. And then Saturday, not a very good game. There was an L. We lose. And then yesterday, you know, which is today for me still, because it's still Sunday for me recording, the Cubs won by an easy score of 5-1. Was that the final score? Yes, 5-1, everybody. Some home runs. Home runs galore. It was weird, though, because, again, we scored 3 runs early and then did nothing until David Bodie hit a late home run. David Bodie's back. Welcome back, David Bodie. Good to see him back and healthy. He's a solid bench player. He really is. David Bodie is a guy that he is a utility, like 10th, 11th man type guy on a championship team. I really believe that. Every now and then I hear fans knock David Bodie, and I go, look, you're only mad at him because he's playing maybe too much. But he's a guy that you want to get 3 or 4 starts a week. He's like your premier right-handed pinch hitter off the bench. If someone gets banged up, you're confident playing them there for, you know, 10 days to 15 days in a row. You know he'll give you solid production. And he's the type of guy that will have a couple games. He'll have a weekend where he hits 2 or 3 home runs. He hit his 6th home run yesterday, I should say. It's weird that I'm talking to you from the past, but I'm trying to make it seem like it's the present. Yeah, he went 1 for 3 with 2 RBI and a walk. On this season, yeah, his numbers aren't pretty. He's hitting 204 with a 645 OPS. But again, he only has like 100 at-bats on the year because of the injury that he took him out for a long time. 147 at-bats, I should say. I'm updating that now. But yes, the Cubs won by a score of 5-1. They got great pitching from Trevor Williams, probably one of his best starts since early April. He walked 0, struck out 6 in 6 1/3 inning, and scattered 5 hits. Lowering his ERA down to 5.06. Ugh, man, That's such a bummer. When someone has a great outing like that and you're like, there you go, that'll help the stat sheet. You look down and you're like, nope, still pretty bad. Still not very good. Ryan Tepera, he's back to looking real sharp. You know, he had a little dip, went on the IL. He's come back and he's looking like the Tepera we've seen all season. 2.91 ERA in the year. Morgan pitched a third. Not really, no, don't know what to think of him yet. I don't think he's a mainstay or anything like that. He's just kind of helping out. Maples gave up the one run. He walked two, struck out nobody. Just not, look, I said in the last podcast, these final 2 months, you're really going to see a lot of pitchers that were like, I don't know about this guy. But we're going to need concrete, definitive answers on the future for a Dylan Maples. He was a guy the Cubs have held on for a very long time, to the point where a lot of Cubs fans are like, why? Why do we keep giving him chances? And I get it in the sense that he doesn't cost much, if anything. What is he making, $500,000 a year? Not scoffing at that. That's great money. But as far as a team investment goes, not much, you know? And his stuff is electric. He will have times where it's like, please be that guy every time. We gotta unlock that magic more consistently, because you're throwing a fastball in the upper 90s, a slider in the low 90s with a lot of bite. It's just, he's got nasty stuff. But then again, you know, he made it so that Kimbrel had to come in and, you know, get the save, even though it's 5-1, but because he came in with runners on base. Yeah, so that's the thing. I mean, we're going to have to find out soon. So I say pitch Maples as often as possible, because again, if you get the losses, Cubs fans, we have to accept the fact that losses could be spun to meaning we get a higher draft pick. Silver linings. You got to find the silver linings wherever they lie. And, but this will be it for Maples. Because like I said before, I understood the idea of like, oh, I want to keep him, because if he goes to another team, you're like, and they unlock the magic. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Dylan Maples is going to be like a Boston Red Sox next year or a Dodger, heaven forbid. And he's going to be electric and elite. And we're going to be like, why? What were we not teaching you? You know? I don't know. Some people just need to change the scenery as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the bullpen plays out, because I still think some of the biggest trade chips the Cubs have are their pen guys. Now, Andrew Chafin had a bad game on Saturday, but that was his first bad game like in forever. So I don't think it hurts his value too much. So the Cubs, again, have three big trade chips in Kimbrel, Chafin, and Tepera. Now, I don't want to get all doom and gloom talking about trades, but it's the big part of what's going on right now. The other highlights from yesterday's game, where the Cubs again won 5-1 over the Diamondbacks. The Cubs didn't have a lot of hits. That's the thing again with this Cubs team. They start off the first inning. Wilson Contreras walks. Chris Bryant, bam, two-run shot, 2-0 Cubs. Anthony Rizzo follows, bang, home run, right field. 3-0 Cubs, back-to-back jacks. Right, we're feeling good. We're doing dances in our living room. We're happy. Contreras and Rizzo hug in the dugout, showing love. Camera got a glimpse of it. You're thinking, hey, look at that. They're buddies again. Sometimes people get into spats. It happens. It shows they care, I feel like. And then we don't score at all. Look at this. We get 3 runs. Then we don't. Well, actually, we got the 2 runs. Bodie hit the 2-run homer in the fourth. I apologize. But I remember at one point thinking, man, that's it? Because in the second and third, we went down pretty much in order. But yeah, we only had 6 hits on the game. We did walk 5 times, which is nice to see. Other performances, Rizzo seemed to have the best game overall, going 2-for-4 with an RBI. Bryant was, you know, 1-for-4 with 2 RBI as well. Patrick Wisdom drew a walk. No hits right there. Mareznick was 1-for-4. Bodie, like, hit the 2-run shot, like I said. And you know who had a nice game? Ortega had a pinch hit. Or no, he didn't pinch hit. He came in. He had a base hit there. He's up to 281 in the season right now, Rafael Ortega. Liking what I'm seeing out of him. Wilson Contreras stole a base. How about 4th on the year? And with runners in scoring position, the Cubs were 2-for-6 for a .333 batting average. Better than normal for our Cubs. Another thing I was going to talk about was the RBI stat. I'll save that for a little bit later. I've been thinking about RBIs a lot lately because it's an interesting stat. It's one of those ones where, for a stretch, all this Moneyball people, sabermetrics, you know, fans who are really into the math of things were like, RBIs, it's a stupid stat. It's meaningless, blah, blah, blah. It's not meaningless because it means runs batted in. It means a run scored. Runs scored are good things. That's how you win games. What they would always mean, but, you know, these numbers people are so bad at explaining things. They can explain with numbers, but they're bad at explaining with words. What they mean by an RBI is a guy could have 120 RBI. But that doesn't necessarily mean he was a great hitter that year. Now, you might be thinking, well, 120 RBIs, clearly he was clutch. Not always. There's been seasons where hitters have had over 100 RBI, but batted like 230 with runners in scoring position. They just happened to get – every time they were in the batter's box, there was runners in scoring position. They had a lot of opportunities. I almost wish baseball had a thing where, you know, you have like field goal percentage in basketball. I would like it to be like RBI per plate appearance or, you know, RBI. I know they have batting average with runners in scoring positions, the stat and all that, but it varies because there are sometimes there are, like I said before, someone could have like 50 at bats with runners in scoring position. Another player could have 200 at bats. Depends who hits in front of you. It's all about like lineup construction, that, which is, again, such an underrated part of baseball. Because a lot of times people will look at a lineup and think, oh, that doesn't seem all that great. How come they score so much? I'm like, because of the lineup diversity. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse every time I talk about how important Nico Horn or Matt Duffy were. Right? You have Matt Duffy batting. The pitcher's like, well, I can't throw him sliders away. He'll take it for a walk. So now I got to come inside. That's how I'll get this guy out. But then the next batter is Javi Baez, who I want to throw sliders away to. So after working Duffy inside, I'm not trying to go away to this guy. But now I'm going too far away to the point where Javi's not even offering. Or because I'm so used to going inside to Matt Duffy, I now don't get the ball outside enough for Javi. He then blasts the ball into the right center field stands for an Apo Taco, opposite field home run. See, like those little things. The lineups are like a house of cards. You know what a lineup is? Here's the analogy I'm going to use, everybody. A batting order is like ingredients. So think about an amazing dish, like your favorite meal. It's got nine, we'll get rid of the picture, eight ingredients. Now, ingredients six and eight aren't like a lot. They're not like super important as big a deal. It's not as like ingredients one, two, three, and four. Those are like the most important ingredients. But you take out ingredients six and eight, it's not your favorite meal anymore. It doesn't taste quite the same. That's been the Cubs lineup. When you had Nico Horner and Matt Duffy consistently in the lineup from around May 1st through early June, when the Cubs offense, if you look at the Cubs offense in May, I think they were second in the National League. You know, you lose those two, and then it's like, all right, we're trying to make this pizza taste the same way. I should have just said pizza. I don't know why I said your favorite meal. Pizza is universal. This pizza is not going to taste the same. And then the pepperoni is going to be trying too hard. And then before you know it, the sausage is like, what am I doing here? I wanted an extension before the season began, right? It's very delicate. So every now and then, like I've seen people float ideas where it's like, all right, get rid of this guy, replace him with this guy, and then have this guy here, and then they go, that doesn't look much better. I'm like, yeah, you're looking at it individually. Put them together as a pie. It's a big thing of pizza. Because like I've said about the Cubs before, 2019 is a great example. Schwarber had a great year in 2019. Wilson Contreras had an awesome 2019. Rizzo had he was like a 900 OPS in 2019. KB, 900 OPS in 2019. Javi had a really nice 2019. Those big five, plus you throw in Nick Castellanos. I know there's some injuries there towards the end of the season that really hurt, but they all had awesome years. But the offense still wasn't amazing. You know, it had same thing we've seen in the last 2 years where they wouldn't get a base hit for a week. They just didn't gel together. You know, you need a diversification. You need different spices. Can't have all the spices being too similar. It's overkill. I think that's a fair assessment right there. Bet online, everybody. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to get all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and your UFC. MMA action. I mean, NFL is right around the corner, everybody. You jonesing for fantasy? Get on board. So before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or cell phone and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the games as your teams prep for the playoffs. Not our Cubs, though. Head to the website or use your cell phone to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus. That's amazing. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code locked on. All right. I did mention Bryant and Rizzo going back to back. And I'm thinking, When I saw it, I was like, oh man, could that be the last time Brizzo goes back to back? I hope not, because Cubs fans, I am going to the game Wednesday night. I would love for Bryant and Rizzo and Baez to still be in Cubby blue. I hope they're sticking around for at least so I can give them a proper send, selfishly, so I can give them a proper send off on Wednesday. And you know, I was talking about this with some fans on the Locked On Cubs Twitter. Someone said, you know what? They could get a lot for Bryant. They should trade him and then sign him back. That's really what the Cubs should be doing. And I would love that, because it reminds me of what the Yankees did with Aroldis Chapman back in 2016. I know I'm about to start talking about the 2016 season. Do you remember? Do you guys remember? Pretty good year. Cubs 1-7. It was amazing against the Cleveland Guardians. Never forget it. They were all chanting, Guardians, Guardians. And we're like, not today. It's like, guard this, you know? And we won. It was amazing. And I know we want more. And hopefully more is on the horizon. And hopefully this is not some big, dumb, long rebuild that is totally unnecessary. I would like it to be, like I said, you could trade Bryant, you could trade Kimbrel, load up. We're not making the playoffs anyway, but bring them back. I'm not saying you have to bring all of them back, but the ones that fit. Make a decision, choose a path, and really go for it. This team needs to be mixed up. We know that. But I think Chris Bryant is a special player. He is. I've been watching him this past weekend. He looks, remember everyone's like, his hamstring hurt again? And I said, that's precautionary. Should have seen him on Friday going first to third. He had a triple on Saturday. I mean, the guy is running fine. His leg feels fine. I think they were close to a trade deal, or they were thinking to themselves, hey, we can't risk anything too big. If he itches his toe funny, you yank him out of the lineup, Rossi. I think that was the message that was sent down from way up high, you know? And I mentioned the Yankees. Now, the Yankees in 2016 traded Aroldis Chapman, Andrew Miller. They didn't make the playoffs. But then in 2017, they were in the ALCS. Almost going right back to the World Series. Going to the World Series. We've been their first one in a while. But still, they were right back in the thick of things. I bring this up all the time. I'm like, why can't the Cubs do that? People are like, well, no, because you don't want to spend money on free agents until your new core is closer. And I'm like, listen, this idea that you can't develop prospects while competing is insane. That's just not the way that goes. And you also do not need to have a ready, set, go roster on April 1st. I give the Dodgers a lot of credit for what they did in 2017 and 2018. They went into the season with some question marks. Luckily, they played in a weaker division those 2 years. The West was not much. And what'd they do? They made big trades come the deadline. They traded for Yu Darvish in 2017. They traded for Manny Machado in 2018. Both those moves helped solidify the division title and made them scary come playoff time. Made them, hey, this is a contender. This is a team that can win the World Series. They didn't those years, but they made it. And did they make it in 2018? Yeah, they did. And so I think as Cubs fans, we don't have to, if we go into next year competitive enough to be close to winning the division, where all we need is a nice splash at the deadline to send us over the top, then that's great. Jed, go do that. My point is we can make smart signings without hurting the growth of like a Brendan Davis, who should be up sometime in 2022. He had another home run like the other day. The guy's just absolutely dominating. He's going to be a top 10 prospect in all of baseball. Who knows how high? He could be close to top 5 come the start of next season. This guy is going to be a perennial all-star. That's right. Another amazing draft pick by Theo Epstein / Jed Hoyer to go onto the list of amazing draft picks they've had. That's the thing that always bothered me. There was a dip where they had a couple years there where it was like, oh, they didn't really develop much, and the farm system's kind of taking a dive a little bit there. And there were people whose response was, well, get rid of them. I'm like, get rid of them? Like, are you kidding me? Theo Epstein's one of the best guys to ever do this job. And every great president of baseball operations / GM, whatever you want to call them, they've had dips, right? Where they're great and all of a sudden it takes a little bit of a dive and then they're great again. That's just this idea of like, oh, two bad years, you're out. I just thought that was ridiculous. The 2018 draft is going to end up being one of the best drafts from the Cubs in a long time. Think about it. Nico Hoerner, first round pick. Brendan Davis, second round pick. Those are two guys who I would not be shocked if they were on the 2023 All-Star team together. I'm not kidding you. And if we extend Chris Bryant, he could be right there with them. We're not that far off. I don't know. The media or someone really drove it through certain ones of our heads, making it seem like we are just so far away from competing. And I know I get it's the uncertainty with ownership too. Are the Rockets going to spend like they did before? Come on, Tommy. I know you listen. Spend some money. You know what's hilarious? As I give ownership guff all the time on this podcast, but I got a bunch of bad reviews, everyone, because I got into it with some fans on the other side of town. Chicago Dogs, man. The fans of the Independent League baseball team, the Chicago Dogs. I don't know. I went to one of their games. It was great, but the fan base there got really mad at me, and I can't go into Rosemont for a while until they calm down. But anyway, I'm kidding. I'm a comedian, everyone. I do that as well, besides hosting a great baseball podcast. I got some reviews. One of them was that I'm just a shill for the Rockets, and I just toe the company line, and I defend them constantly. And I'm like, I'm constantly telling fans that if they don't spend this offseason, the fans shouldn't spend. Clearly, I'm in their pocket. I'm encouraging people not to go to games if they don't improve this team in the offseason. That's definitely, I'm a corporate yes man. That's me. It's a wonderful one-star review right there. It's so funny to get all these one-star reviews from people where I'm like, they've clearly never listened to an episode. You're allowed to do that, though. Like Yelp, Yelp.com. You guys ever mess around with that website? You shouldn't. It's horrible. But people on there will write reviews, and I'm like, you've never been to this place. What happened? Someone said no to a date. You tried to ask the bartender out. She said no, and so you just trashed her place of business. Is that what happened? I remember one time this place, Roma's Beef. I don't know why I checked the reviews. I think I was trying to find out how late it was open, and then the reviews popped up on Yelp. Roma's is on Cicero, and this guy wrote, this place is terrible. They don't have any vegetarian options. I'm like, really? Roma's Beef doesn't have any vegetarian? Why would you go to a place called Roma's Beef? Your vegetarian option is the French fries, you dope. Like, I don't understand. They shouldn't be allowed to write the review. There should be like a police or like some sort of person who reads these reviews and says, no, I'm not letting you take down this business because you're an idiot. Sorry. That's not on my watch, right? Speaking of great food, Built Bar, everybody. Built Bar are these fantastic nutritional bars that have so many delicious flavors. They've got coconut. They've got raspberry, mint brownie. That's my personal favorite right there. Double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. So many amazing flavors, and the nutritional facts will blow your mind. 17 to 18 grams of protein. Huh? How about it? How about that starting off your day right? Calories ranging from 130 to 180. And here's the best part, everyone. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. That's key. That's key because so many of these other nutritional bars, I won't name names because I'll get in trouble, but they're out there. You know them. Check the back of them next time you're at the gas station thinking, I'm going to get like $30 on a little 87, right? Feed my car, right? Maybe you go up a little bit, depending how nice your ride is. And then you look at the back before you pay for the gas. It's going to blow your mind with 40 grams of sugar. Forget that. You're thinking you're going to get some energy. You're crashing by lunch with that. Forget it. So order today, everybody. Also, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go America, huh? Here's the offer. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 at BuiltBar.com. All right, so I was going to talk about the Aroldis Chapman trade. Cubs traded for Chapman on July 25th, 2016. So we were just crossing the 5-year anniversary of that deal. And I was shocked to hear or to read that some fans are still mixed on that, which is crazy to me. Look, listen, everyone, any trade that nets you a ring, that you win a World Series ring, is an amazing trade. The Cubs do not win the 2016 World Series without Aroldis Chapman. I know he gave up the home run to Rajah Davis. I know that. But he pitched his pitching throughout. You know what I mean? It was like he got us to the next game. His performance in game 5, that was must win, of course. Again, we don't win game 5. We're out. We lose in 5 instead of coming back to win in 7. So again, we do not get a World Series ring without Aroldis Chapman. Now, obviously, his personal stuff aside, I'm here to talk about just the on-field performance. And he was good. He was that big scary guy that the other team would think about. Think about game one of the NLCS. We brought in Chapman early, and Dave Roberts was like, I have to figure out a way to get them to pinch hit for Chapman. So he loaded the bases. We pinch hit for Miguel Montero. He hits a grand slam. We don't need our closer anymore. We're up by four. Fowler then hits a home run after. We're up by five. That was a really bad managing by Dave Roberts. I've never seen someone so afraid where it's like, let's do this weird strategy where we put people on base on purpose just to get rid of the pitcher. It's just so weird, because what if a wild pitch happened? There's so many things that could have gone wrong there, and they all did with one swing. Miguel Montero, that was actually Joe Buck I give a lot of guff to, and rightfully so. I feel like a lot of the times, I'm sure you're a nice guy, Joe, but his call, this is something I won't give him guff for. I'll give him praise. His call of Miggy Montero's home run in game one of the NLCS in 2016 was fantastic. And he's like, grand slam, Montero, game one hero. Like that. He nailed that. The cadence was perfect. He hit it right when Miggy was rounding first with the fist up in the air. It was fantastic. It was magical. Now, we traded Gleyber Torres, who was one of our top prospects at the time, but he was only 18. He was an international prospect. We had signed both him and Eloy Jimenez around the same time. Eloy was way further on down at the time because, again, he was only 17 or 18 at the time. And that's something that you need to think about with this Darvish trade. We got a bunch of teenagers back, and I know Owen Casey and the other guy are absolutely looking like stars to be. I can't remember what the other two are doing. One's not playing right now or just yet, but two of them are looking like everyone who's watched them are like, oh, they're going to be good. They're going to be really good. So that's something to be excited about. I'm not saying it was okay to trade Darvish, but I know at the time everyone's like, we got teenagers back. That's what the Sox got back from us. They got a teenager. We gave the Yankees a teenager. Don't swear off teenagers, especially, you know, off of the 2020 season, which minor league baseball was canceled. I got to imagine our guys had these guys scouted in particular. And we're like, no, we want them. Oh, we don't care what the rankings are. We want them right now. So Gleyber Torres, I know a lot of Cubs fans years later, because he was an all-star in 2019, were kind of changing their tune, being like, can't believe we have a Torres. Can't believe we gave up Gleyber for Chapman. I'm like, again, you win a World Series. Anything that wins you a World Series, you take. I saw this question asked on Twitter where they said, if you could guarantee a World Series, would you trade this top prospect for 2 months of this guy? And people were responding no. And I'm like, they must have missed this. There's a reading comprehension problem going on right now. The trade guarantees you a World Series win. Like, make the trade, you 100% will win the World Series. It's guaranteed. In this, it's a hypothetical, of course, but in this hypothetical, you make this trade, you 100% guaranteed to win a World Series. And people are still like, I just can't trade that future, man. You might win one or two with that. You might. You even just said it with your own words. You might win one or two down the line. This is guaranteed. Just a reminder to everyone, it's 2021. Since the year 2000, only two teams have won multiple World Series. Two. The Red Sox have won four, the Giants have won three, and the Cardinals have won two. That's it. Three teams have won multiple since the year 2000. And no team has won back-to-back since the Yankees in 99-2000. This idea that dynasties could be, or even if you build a perennial team that's at the top all the time, like the Dodgers, there's no guarantee you're going to win a World Series, let alone multiple. So again, if you were told me right now, the Cubs could trade Brennan Davis and it guarantees they win the 2021 World Series, I'm saying buy Brennan Davis. I will help you pack. The word guaranteed means you're winning. Now I know, again, it's a hypothetical, but if anyone ever asks you, it's guaranteed this happens, you take it. You take the guarantee. It's crazy to think otherwise. That's why the Chapman trade will always be in the great trade column. Just a reminder, everybody, you want to know what Gleyber Torres is up to? Here's what Gleyber Torres is up to. Okay, let's see here. He is batting .243 with a .329 on base percentage. Not terrible. He's slugging a whopping .338. If you're wondering, that is terrible. He has six home runs. Okay, people who are fans of the RBI stat, 36. He's got 350 at-bats, so he's played most of these 85 games. He's only missed a handful of games. We played about 93, 94 right now. Are we closer to 100 now? Either way, he hasn't missed a ton of time. He's still young. He's only 24 years old. He was really bad last year. But again, last year, I don't judge a lot of people on because it was a pandemic season. But it seemed like even the year 2019 when he was an all-star and had a really good year, people were looking at closer to his numbers thinking, man, if he doesn't play Baltimore, he's not that good. I know he had 38 home runs that year, but again, it's Yankee Stadium. It's not 38 home runs like it is at other stadiums. Yankee Stadium next to Coors is like it's a bandbox. It's just, I want to hit there. So yeah, this year he is 11% below average as a hitter. He is a negative offensive player. The only reason his wins above replacement is at 1.4 right now, which is decent-ish, is because his defense is pretty strong at second base. At shortstop, it's not as strong. He could probably play a little bit of third, but yeah, he's not exact. It's not, again, so if you had told me we're going to trade for a little over 2 months of a closer, going to win a World Series, but the infielder we're trading, he's going to be an all-star, but then not, I mean, I would do this trade every time. I still think a lot of Cubs fans haven't updated their take on Gleyber Torres. They still think of the guy who had 38 home runs in 2019, not realizing, oh, he's not good anymore. They don't, you know, people got to follow these things. You know, sometimes you swear off people too soon. As far as trades go, I should mention that the Padres did acquire Adam Frazier earlier on Sunday. They traded a guy whose name, Marcano. He's infielder, outfielder, and outfielder Jack Suwinski. He is a local guy from the northwest side of Chicago, went to Taft High School, the high school that the guys who wrote the movie Grease went to, and also Jerry Krause went to Taft High School. By the way, Jack Suwinski is one heck of a northwest side of Chicago last name. If you know, you know. So the Padres making moves. Adam Frazier is a high contact bat. Going to be a nice little table setter in front of Machado and Fernando Tatis. That's making their offense even stronger. I'm a little surprised. I don't think the Padres are done yet, though. I think they make a move for pitching. I'll be keeping you guys up to date with all of that as it unfolds. Now, I didn't dive too deep into the RBI stat, but look, I love Javi Baez. Someone brought up how good Javi Baez is with RBIs as opposed to Chris Bryant. Up until and I haven't updated this today, but up until recently, when with runners in scoring position, they had the same batting average. Now it's switched a little bit. I think Chris Bryant's at 250, Javi's at like 270. So at 20 points, it's a little bit of a distinction. Javi has way more opportunities, though. I bring this up because if you flip them, Chris Bryant almost always bats in front of Javi. I think 95% of Chris Bryant's plate appearances, he's batting in front of Javi Baez. If you switch it, Javi doesn't have the RBIs he has. Chris Bryant gets on base a lot. Way, way, way more than Javi. Oftentimes, it's Javi driving in Chris. Now, you have to remind yourself of that when you look at the RBI stat. I think it's a great stat. I really do. Of all the advanced metric stats that I've fallen in love with, I've never let go of the RBI stat. I've got a lot of friends who are just like, RBIs, it's nothing to do with you. You need people to get on base. They don't like that stat because it involves your teammates. You know, in order to have a lot of RBIs, you need a lot of people in front of you. That's not something you can control. They think it's, but I know some hitters definitely rise to the occasion. Oh, there's ducks on the pond. They get more pumped up. So that's just something to think about. You know, when you look at why one player has a lot of RBIs and another player doesn't, look a little deeper is all I'm saying. Look at what they hit when there's runners on base. Look how many plate appearances they have with runners on base and compare. It makes it fun. That's what makes baseball such a fun sport to me. It's just all the different ways you could dissect it. You know, football fans, they don't dig it the way we do. They watch the game. They yell at the TV. We're smarter, is my point. I love football too, actually. It's one of my favorite things. All right, you guys have been amazing. Thank you for checking out the Locked On Cubs podcast. I'll be keeping you up to date on everything that's happening. You guys are the best. Write a great review if you want to help balance out the negative ones, or you don't. I don't care. I'm not one of those people that begs for reviews. Have a great Monday. You guys are the best. As always, go Cubs. Locked On Bets, everybody. Betting on the NBA, MLB, or NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.